Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. And this morning's episode is entitled, Shout of the Divine Warrior in Defeat of the Primordial Chaos Monster. I'm going to begin reading from Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the roaring deep. It should read roaring deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, or light be, and light was. Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Tov, in Hebrew. And he separated the light from the darkness. Poshek. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. The Hebrew word for a day is yom. And there was evening, and there was morning, first day. Notice in the Hebrew text that the day, the 24-hour solar day, is viewed very different. The Hebrew text reads, there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Not there was morning and then evening. So it is the reverse of the Western understanding of the light-darkness cycle. Now, I want you to pay very close attention to the text, because this text, that is, the first 11 chapters of the Genesis document, are the foundation for the rest of the biblical documents. It is interesting to note that in the 19th century, the first five books of the Bible, that is the Pentateuch, Penta meaning five, the Pentateuch was under relentless, or came under relentless attacks from liberal sources. They went after the first five books of the Bible in a merciless fashion. It was the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, however, that totally dismantled the documentary theory. The Dead Sea Scrolls were an inestimable find. And in God's own time and in God's own manner, those documents set aside the Rainbow Bible, the tattered Bible, the relentlessly redacted Bible, or so-called Bible of the liberal scholars. In the Genesis document, we have in beginning God, that is Yahweh Elohim. Yahweh on the end of Elohim, is a plural suffix. In the beginning, or in beginning, Yahweh Elohim created. The verb here, bara, bara is a verb only used of Yahweh. Here we have the event of the creation of the heavens and the earth, or in Western thinking, ex nihilo. No thing or substance was in place. So God created the mass energy universe out of no thing. The verb bara connotes an activity that only Yahweh Elohim can perform. Bara is never used of the activity of man. This document opens with activity. This document presents biblical protology. That's the beginning. We have God given to us, Yahweh Elohim, who was never created because he always was. And creation is not seen as an extension of his essence. He is apart from his creative activity. Hebrew thinking assumes the aseity, that is, the existence of God. Existence is derived from the being of God. God is before and prior to existence, or the creative order. And so we have a wonderful revelation given to us in Genesis chapter 1. In that the Genesis document in the beginning affirms divine personality. It renounces atheism or atheism. It renounces pantheism. It renounces evolutionism. It renounces polytheism or the existence of many gods. It renounces the eternity of mass energy. It also renounces fatalism. An old book on creation, written by a French scientist, he stated that our number came up, that is, the existence of man came up in the Monte Carlo game, that is, in a book called Chance and Necessity. It's pretty tough reading, but it would be worth the time. Jacques Monod is the author. It would be worth the time to go through that book and approach it with an open mind. Approach it not with an overlay of, well, I know this is not true, but approach Chance and Necessity with an openness to what the writers say. And learn some very important things about a view of creation, a view of creation that one might not necessarily have agreement with, and that's okay, but we can still learn, we can still have humility, we can still have teachability, which is very important if one is to grow as a person. I want you to notice that in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, we read that Elohim created the heavens and the earth. The earth is given us here specifically. And we read that the earth was formless and empty. And these are very, very interesting words in the text. And we read that darkness, or Choshek, an impenetrable darkness was over the surface of the roaring deep. So there are those who believe that the earth was encased in ice. And so therefore, there was little activity or no activity with regard to living things. Living things need a certain temperature in order for there to be life. And the roaring deep is a picture of a frightening, primordial time. And this roaring deep is personified in the Psalms as Rahab, the primordial chaos monster. The word deep here in the text in Hebrew is Tehom. And again, once again, we read that and darkness, that is Choshek, was over the surface of the roaring deep, or Tehom. And so Rahab, the chaos monster, dwelt in Tehom, the roaring deep, which is given to us as a picture of chaos. Psalmist, very interestingly, in Psalm 89:10 states, in verse 9, you rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. You crushed Rahab like one of the slain. With your strong arm, you scattered your enemy. The heavens are yours, and yours also the earth. You founded the world and all that is in it. You created the north and the south, Tabor and Hermon. Sing for joy at your name. Your arm, which is a symbol of strength, which is an anthropomorphism, your arm is endowed with power. Your hand is strong. Your right hand exalted. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Love and faithfulness go before you. Blessed are those who have learned to acclaim you, who walk in the light of your presence, O Lord. So, in Genesis chapter 1, we have on the first day the creation of light. We have the connective particle given to us in verse 3, the connective particle and evolve. And this conjunction lets us know that there is a sequential order to the text. So the connective particle and is repeated throughout the text. So we can see that one event follows upon another. Please note especially the synchronicity of word and act. In the Genesis document, word and act are one. Word and act are one. And so, In verse 2, now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Once again, it is believed that the earth was encased in ice. And here, the darkness represents impenetrable darkness. We have a picture here of the Spirit of God and His creative power vibrating heat energy over the surface of the roaring deep in order to begin the creative activity of placing life upon the earth, or in giving life to the earth. Peter talks about this great event in Second Peter. I won't go there this morning. It is interesting to me that there's a recent article about stated how scientists do not understand where the earth got its water, or how the earth got its water. H2O is a very precious and unique gift. We all know that the inside of the earth has more water than the surface of the earth. And we all know that at the poles, there is an incredible amount of methane contained within the ice, encased within the ice. We all know that the earth is tilted in a certain way as to keep us from burning up or freezing. It is the way the earth is positioned. That enables us to survive. The earth is very delicately tilted. It is very precisely tilted so that we do not freeze or burn up. We have a very unique atmosphere. And we have given the atmospheric layer or layers different names. We understand that the electromagnetic environment of the earth is unique for the life that is upon it. So we are given privy in this document to the power, or some understanding of the power of God and the being of God. We see, we're able to read of His activity. Now the earth, verse 2, was formless. So we have a state of being verb given to us here. The earth was formless and without, and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. In verse 3, we begin to see the power of God and His extent over the chaos monster Rahab. God takes His work seriously. We see the restoration of order. We see the giving of order. We see that God brings in light. Now, here at this point, this is not the sun. that we're speaking of. We're talking about electromagnetic energy that God has brought in. Light be, or let light be, and light was. And God said, and God said. The thinking of God is concrete. The thinking of God manifests in concrete action. Verse 4, and Elohim saw that the light was Tov, full of goodness. And he separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. We see in Genesis chapter 1 the power of God over chaos. The power of God over ruin. We see in Genesis 1 the creative activity of God, the strong arm of God. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes that we were dead in trespasses and sin. Here, the earth was dead and encased in ice. Tihon, darkness, Koshek, and impenetrable darkness is a picture of death. And here we have a picture of the power of God. God knows at all times precisely what he is doing. I want believing ones to understand that when they are confronted by a person who claims to be an atheist and they are given the challenge to prove the existence of God, please understand that the burden of proof is not on you as a believing one. The burden of proof is on the person who claims to be an atheist. And leave it there. The Genesis writer does not defend the theology that he writes. He states unashamedly to being in the existence of God. He states unashamedly the power of God. He assumes the presence of God. The presence and the existence of God is the foundation for the Genesis doctrine. In Exodus chapter 14, we have these words given by Moses. As his people are faced with Pharaoh approaching them. Pharaoh is behind them, the Sea of Reeds is in front of them. In 14:3, Moses states, we read, quote, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance or the salvation the Lord will bring. Today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You only need be still. In Exodus 15, well, let me read Exodus 14:29. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day, the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. Doesn't state that Pharaoh survived. In the text, in the movies, Pharaoh survives. The text states that Pharaoh also perished with his army. And when the Israelites saw the great power of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. In Exodus 15, verse 3, it reads, "The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the sea. The deep waters, Kihom, have covered them. They sink to the depths like a stone." In Isaiah 42, we have these words beginning in verse 13. "The Lord will march out like a mighty man, or like a man of war," a reference to the divine warrior. The Lord will march out like a mighty man, like a warrior. He will stir up his zeal with a shout. He will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemy. One commentator states, "Man of war," that is, like one who has already fought many battles and is therefore ready for war. And well versed in warfare, he stirs up jealousy. His jealousy has slumbered as if it were a long time, as if it were smoldering under the ashes. But now he stirs it up, that is, makes it burn up into a bright flame. Those who believe that they can put ruin or ruin the people of God will one day meet him. Those who persecute, hurt, those who connive, lie, cheat, those who discount the existence of God, those who seek to undermine worship and genuine spirituality by substituting that which is genuine with a false and generalized spirituality will one day have to answer to Yahweh Elohim. The chaos monster Rahab is among us, and we must have a deeper awareness of the Word and of his power and ability to save. Who can be against? It was Martin Luther who stated that God in you makes the majority. It's time for believers to understand that the divine warrior is coming back. Revelation 19 comes back. Please, when you get an opportunity, read Revelation 19 about the divine warrior coming back and how the saints of his saints pour out behind him from heaven. In the Greek text, it is perfect tense. God is coming again. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.